You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
July the 15th, 2020, a very direct and specific question for you. Do you feel safe in your streets? Do you feel that the police are there for you? Do you think, as we begin to see defunding police across the nation and taking money out of their budgets and still on the edge of others calling for not just defunding but abolishing police, will that make you even safer? Show me one person who believes, yeah, if we have no police, we will be safer. And I will show you someone who has no contact with reality. And I would dare them. I would dare them to walk down some of the heaviest crime areas of their set, of their city, their county, and just take a chance. Because here's what happens for those who live in those areas. They have to take a chance every day they go out their door, and that's with police available, at least with a 911 call, hopefully. But as you defund police, you take money from them, you're taking away officers, a number of officers who suddenly are not a number enough to respond and protect you. And if you abolish them entirely, nobody is going to come. This is what you're going to get with the liberals coming up. Make no mistake about it. This is what they're going to put in front of you. This is their campaign. If you vote liberal this time around, with Joe Biden, he's already on board as well. He's on board with every of the leftist, far radical left of what they want to see happen. Look at New York City, the rocketing crime rate, and they have just started process to defund, take $1 billion from that city police department budget. Look what's happening in Seattle, Chicago, L.A., Detroit, D.C. And then you've got Portland violence that continues another night. And the mayor of Portland, good Democrat that he is now ordering federal agents out of his city. Because he's not sending police to protect the federal facilities and buildings, the courthouse. So federal agents were sent in to provide protection. And he says he wants them off the streets, that they bring fear to the people. With the feds leave, the city police are not going to be sent to protect federal buildings. And we're not going to abandon a courthouse as they abandon police precincts in various areas. And are we getting immune to the daily death counts of murder victims? The cancel culture has a new target, Doctors Without Borders. What could be racist and have to be changed about Doctors Without Borders? We'll get into that. And the cancel culture also has a call to drop the Star Spangled Banner. All of this we could see coming, couldn't we? Now wait till you hear the proposed replacement in one case, if they can convince this area to drop the Star Spangled Banner. They say, wait, we got a song. We got another song for you. And the cancel culture attacking another song. And this one. I mean, I'm already drawing the line on Star Spangled Banner, but in this one in particular, yeah, I'm going to step up even more so. What could be greater than the Star Spangled Banner? Nothing. But in this case, this song is very personal. And I'm drawing the line on this one. And if you're looking for another reason to make sure you vote Republican and get all your friends and family to do the same this time around, I remind you again, it is not just a presidential election. You have to make sure that Republicans gain control of the House and get rid of Nancy Pelosi and her brood forever. And you've got to maintain control of the Senate. If they win the Senate and hold the House, they will rush to impeach Trump even if he wins re-election. And why is it so important for Trump to win re-election? I'll give you one good case right now. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Supreme Court Justice, back in the hospital. Do you want Biden to appoint the next Supreme Court Justice? Oh, and one other thing for you. How do you keep cows from farting so much? That's a crucial issue to save our planet. A lot to cover the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So are you ready to get out from the COVID-19 scare? We might still need to be careful in some areas. I do encourage businesses to make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And of course, if you open up and then a client or an employee or someone else surfaces with COVID-19, you need to reevaluate what's going on. I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. They can determine at a very reasonable cost what you need to do before you open, once you are open, and as you move forward. It just makes good sense, doesn't it? Wellington Environmental, for 30 years, has been treating situations at hospitals, schools, daycare centers, private homes. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Our city council, our mayor's office, and the state legislature have handcuffed police officers and given the streets back to the criminal.
Yes, that's what they're doing in New York City, and they're going to be doing in other cities as they move forward to defund police. Those are the words of New York City Police Benevolent Association President Patrick J. Lynch. And blaming Mayor Bill de Blasio and his city council for a spike in shootings. He said, clearly, the city has given our streets back to the criminals. They had Monday, 17 shot in New York City. I'm looking at a piece written by the New York Post. And they're talking about that 17 shot in New York City, saying that's a tally that would be considered high for a weekend day. But it is, quote, astronomical for early in the week, according to law enforcement officials. And they also had yesterday three more shootings, at least three. And yet you have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, congresswoman from the New York area, saying the plan to cut $1 billion from the New York City Police Department is not enough. When we say defund the police department, we mean defund the police department entirely. Not a single dime to go to the police department. I know she served before she became a congresswoman as a barista in a coffee joint. And I think she might have also been working as a bartender somewhere. I do not know what she was drinking while she was there that's got her mind so muddled at this point. But you would think she'd realize this is endangering our public. One of the areas she represents is part of Harlem. The Hannity program on Fox News sent one of the reporters out to Harlem to get a reaction, asking residents in Harlem, what do they think about these police cuts and how safe do they feel in their streets?
Do you feel safe?
No.
With your child?
No. That's why I walk around with a blade on me. That's why I got my gun license. No.
The police, they took the rights from them. So yeah. Now everybody, it's like Afghanistan out here now. It's a war.
Do you think it was the bad move to take those cops?
Yeah, it was a bad move.
I feel bad because, you know, they're killing innocent people, kids.
Do you feel safe in the community?
Not at all.
They cut $1 billion from the police, and it looks like crime is going up right now. Do you feel like that's the solution?
Well, I think what's happening right now is the people are policing themselves.
Which means if they have a gun, they apparently are carrying it with them. Many don't. And that's assuming that they would be able to handle someone who comes at them at that point. And maybe not be outgunned, as police often are when they encounter a gang on a run, a shoot 'em up campaign. It's tough enough for trained police officers to face some of these gangster thugs. Citizens, it's going to be much tougher and frightening for you. And across the nation, we have seen an increase in gun sales. Numbers coming out the other day for the first 3 months of this year, 40% of those buying guns, new gun buyers. They did not have a gun prior. They did not think they needed one. Maybe some of them were even afraid of a gun and having it in a house or with them. And maybe they were among those saying, guns are evil and we should not have guns in everyone's hand. But now they're realizing, hey, the thugs have them. I better do something for my protection. And you heard the one mention about they're shooting kids. They are. I mean, we had a one-year-old shot the other day. What was that one-year-old doing that deserved death? That one-year-old was at a barbecue, an outside event, obviously, at a little area where folks had gathered. And a bunch of gangsters drove by, and maybe they were targeting someone at the barbecue. They didn't really care when they opened fire. Several were hurt. The one-year-old killed. We've seen it in every city of the nation that we have additional children being slaughtered. And in fact, two boys ages 12 and 15 were wounded just yesterday in separate New York City shootings. Now, I agree with the New York City Police Benevolent Association President de Blasio, and the city council have basically given the streets back to the criminals. Well, how did they decide to move forward with this defunding? Where did the whole idea start? Well, you got AOC calling for it. You got other Democrats and liberals that just, you got to defund the police. You got to take money away from them because police are bad, bad, bad. And of course, it goes back to the George Floyd case and other cases where police exceeded their authority and committed a crime themselves by killing someone that did not deserve it for the crime they were being picked up on at that time. But you also had numerous cases where police were justified. No one wants to deal with those. They only want to deal with the other cases. And I understand that. But then to simply blanket every police department, every officer in the street, regardless of the officer's color, as killers trying to shoot down minorities that they get up every morning, put on their badge, put their Sam Brown belt on and they go out and they're looking for, give me a minority I could shoot down in the street today. That is not reality. And if there are officers like that, other officers on that force should turn them in and report them and their attitude. But the idea of these defunding, you saw a lot of signs during some of these protests. Like in New York City, they had signs saying, defund the police, defund the police. The New York City Police Benevolent Association president, Patrick Lynch, says apparently we are making policy based on what we see on a poster on a protest.
They're not going to stop at $1 billion. They don't want police officers on our streets. They don't want us taking the guns out of perps belts. They don't want us keeping our children safe in school. Well, what's next? Mm-hmm. What's the next slogan we're going to chase?
I know you called what he said. They're chasing a slogan. And why? Well, because they got to look like they're woke. Bill de Blasio, you know, he's got to show, hey, I understand the concerns of the community, the minority community, when they're claiming that cops are out there gunning them down. I understand it. And members of the city council doing the same say, yes, let's defund the police. And every time they cut money from a police budget, which means fewer officers, or even taking out some major crime-fighting units, again, the New York City Police Benevolent Association President Lynch says the thugs absolutely love it.
Remember, just a few short years ago, the city was out of control. Police officers literally took our street corners back block by block because our leadership asked us to. And we presented these neighborhoods back to the good, hardworking people that were in them. Well, this administration decided that's not good. They demonized police officers. They've changed the rules where it's impossible to do our job. And the criminals take advantage of that. When a criminal hears from City Hall, there's going to be a soft touch on crime. They know exactly what that means. It means there's a smorgasbord on the street and we're going to take advantage of it. And they have.
And they will. Now, he referred to there was a time where we went in and we cleaned all this up. We made things better. That was under Mayor Giuliani. And one of the departments being cut in this current budget reduction, defunding of New York City Police Department, is an anti-crime unit, which has something like 1,600 members. A specific anti-crime unit that was ready to rush in at a moment's notice when something suddenly started breaking. And they didn't wait. They rushed in. They were well trained. They took care of situations. And Rudy Giuliani said that particular crime unit that they're taking away, I know the value it had.
I started that unit. It was originally called the Street Crime Unit. They're the people who straightened out Times Square for me. They're the people who straightened out Harlem and Bedford-Stuyvesant. And their expertise was taking guns from people because gun control was meaningless, right? Bad people don't control their guns. So you have to devise a strategy to do it. We devised a strategy called Stop, Question, and Frisk. Before I left office, it was held constitutional by Eric Holder and by Janet Reno.
And you know who ended up following that same plan once he came in? Michael Bloomberg. Remember, Bloomberg was at one time a Democrat candidate most recently in this latest rush for the White House to get rid of Trump. And Bloomberg, during his campaign, was saying, yeah, well, that was then, this is now. I don't think that was a good idea. We shouldn't have done that. But what they were doing is absolutely, absolutely cleaning up the streets, making them safer. Now, you don't live in New York City. You don't have any relatives up there. Maybe you go to New York City occasionally. That would endanger you if you think this is not going to affect you. And if you don't ever go to New York City, you don't have any relatives there, and you don't ever care to go to New York City, think about your fellow citizens up there. And more importantly, how other cities across the nation, blue city mayors led by Democrat governors, cities, mayors, I should say, and even states, they're watching this and they're thinking, okay, We see what they're doing in New York City. We're going to start doing that here. You watch. They're already in the process of doing it. And yet we continue to have children shot down left and right. Just in St. Louis City, a 13-year-old killed by a bullet that came through a window while she was dancing with her mother. A 3-year-old shot and killed because he was in the car with his dad. And again, the New York City Police Benevolent Association President Patrick Lynch says, as we see these numbers come in repeatedly, he says, I fear we're becoming almost immune to them.
A 1-year-old was killed.
A 1-year-old on top of a 14-year-old, a 15-year-old, our aspiring basketball player in the Bronx who was going to announce to his mother what college he chose to go to, but before he can do that was gunned down. It's happening so often now, we're forgetting the tragedy that happened before that. We're waking up in the morning and say, how many last night?
He is so right. He is so right. You begin to forget that 3-year-old, or if you get a 1-year-old, you wake up today and say, well, who got killed this time? How young was this child? And they all kind of come together. You cannot be that callous about it. You cannot find it that immune and just say, oh, it's the standard. We have to accept it. No, we do not have to accept it. But defunding police is just going to make it happen more often. So what if Rudy Giuliani were back in charge of New York City? What would he do? That's coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine an ever-loving light on me. Yonder come is roses.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Bring back the anti-crime unit. I sure as heck be in the CompStat room right now, and I'd be there all night trying to figure out where the hot spots are and redeploying exactly the right police officers at exactly the right time. I don't know if de Blasio stays up at night. It's a very simple program. You just watch where the crimes are. They're obviously now very much concentrated in northern Brooklyn, and you put the right police officers there. Most of those right police officers are in the unit that he disbanded, which
right.
Makes no sense.
Makes no sense. You're taking away the very deterrent you had to help control crime in some of the hot areas. And it's not much different than when a fire breaks out, you send the firemen to that location. In this case, when shootings break out, you need to flood the area with police. And of course, Giuliani was big about the stop and frisk program. An idea that was to temporarily detain, question, at times search civilians and suspects on the street for weapons and other contraband. The problem is, it got out of control. And not necessarily under Giuliani, but later with Bloomberg even. Between 2003-2013, more than 100,000 stops were made per year. That's an excessive amount. And so the complaints came and the lawsuits claimed that you're profiling and stopping minorities, African-American or Latino. And the stats showed that 70% of those stopped were later found innocent. They had no gun or weapon on them. But it gave police the authority that if they suspect someone might have a gun, they could do so. It's also sometimes referred to as Terry stops, a case out of Ohio, Terry v. Ohio, in a U.S. Supreme Court case that made a ruling that while frisks are arguably illegal until a police officer could search only someone who had been arrested, unless a search warrant had been obtained, but in these cases, the Supreme Court granted limited approval if officers lacking probable cause for an arrest to search for victim for weapons, but if the officer suspects the subject to be armed and presently dangerous, they had grounds for a reasonable search. But then the numbers began to accelerate so much, it was hard to deny that it was being abused. So it came to an end. But even Bloomberg used it, and Bill de Blasio, when he was running, he also made a point of saying how he would deal with it. And Bill de Blasio now, over New York City, is leading the charge to cut all the police budget by $1 billion. And he did it thinking this will satisfy the left. I will still look like a hero to them. No, not according to AOC. You're still not doing enough. Stop and frisk was kind of built on the same philosophy of broken windows. If you had a neighborhood with abandoned homes and many broken windows, well, that was a place for crime to grow rapidly. So buildings were either demolished or they had to be boarded up, things of that nature. But I want to get into another issue that becomes critical. How much police can trust their leadership to have their back? And nowadays, that's become a bigger question every day for every officer. We'll discuss that when we continue.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Come on, it'll be close. Save a life, dynamite. So big and so strong. Come on, it'll be closer. I'm all alone, and the night is so long.
USA. Larry Connors, USA.
When we're talking about the Stop and Frisk program, which Giuliani used to help curb crime in New York City, and it started out as a great idea, but it obviously became an easy way for cops to make a decision. They didn't have to have any real justification. They saw a young black man walking. He's got a long white shirt on down around his knees. They stop him. He might be hiding a weapon. As I said, 70% of those stops found there was no weapon. So, yes, the complaints came. It's racist. It's profiling. It's understandable. But then it wasn't just a small number of stops. They began to accelerate. I told you earlier that for about a 10-year period from 2002 to 12, and even a little bit beyond that, they were averaging 100,000 stops a day. But let me give you more specifics. Because at one point, the numbers were astonishing. They had, at one point, in 2013, 191,000 stops were made. Prior to that, in 2011, 685,000 stops were made under that program in 2011. And when all of that became an issue, after that stop number of 2011, 685,000, that's when there was a 2013 court case and later a New York police mandate requiring officers to thoroughly justify the reason for making a stop. So it went from 685,000 to 191,000, and yet that still seemed to be a major issue. And in fact, stop and frisk was an issue in the 2013 mayoral election. Who was going to replace Bloomberg? Well, it was won by Bill de Blasio, who had pledged to reform the Stop and Frisk program, calling for new leadership at the NYPD and a strong racial profiling bill. That's how de Blasio got into office as mayor and in charge of the police department. Rudy Giuliani is saying de Blasio has always been kind of soft on crime because he's looking for the easy way out to say that I don't want to do anything to upset possible votes. That's not specific wording from Giuliani, but that's the gist of his attitude. And he says right now the problem, especially as de Blasio buys on to cutting $1 billion from the New York City Police Department budget, is his general disrespect of police officers. Here's Rudy Giuliani.
They haven't trusted him since the assassinations of the two officers in Brooklyn when he called the police department racist and the guy came all the way from Baltimore and killed New York City policemen, a New York City policeman. So they don't trust him. He's got to get their trust back. He has to tell them, look, I know you have to make tough decisions. I'll support you if you're right. I'm not just going to turn you over to the wolves.
But too many times he's not, and now by cutting $1 billion from that budget, he's given the thugs more control of the city and the streets. We have, of course, in the wake of George Floyd's death, seen a number of protests. First Amendment guaranteed peaceful assembly, but many turned to violence. And then police are, again, handcuffed as to what they can do. They had to sit there and pretty much take it. We saw what happened in Seattle, of course, when they made that autonomous zone and took over an area, and the mayor of that city decided, well, we're just not going to resist. We'll abandon the police headquarters that in that precinct. This has been going on also in Portland, Oregon. It's not been getting a lot of coverage across the nation, but they've had violence in their demonstrations for 6 weeks straight. Local businesses reporting a $23 million in losses due to looting and rioting. Well, obviously, that's not a peaceful assembly. Looting and rioting steps over the line of your First Amendment rights. And they went after federal targets. They were going after the federal courthouse. And the police apparently were stretched already thin and maybe under orders don't even bother protecting federal property. So federal agents were sent in. As a crowd rushed forward trying to break through the courthouse door, one of the protesters carrying a hammer, he struck a federal officer in the head and shoulder. Now, is that a peaceful assembly? Of course not. He was arrested for assault on the officer, thank goodness. Where was this guy? Was a Portland resident, right? No, he was not. He was from Texas. Decided, hey, I want to get involved in this. I want to get some. I want to go up there and take out some cops. Local officials in Portland have been criticizing the federal law enforcement to the extent that the Portland mayor now telling feds, either stay inside or leave my city. This is what Mayor Ted Wheeler said. I told the acting secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, my biggest immediate concern is the violence federal officers brought to our streets in recent days and the life-threatening tactics his agents have used. We do not need or want their help. Now, I just told you that they're trying to protect a federal building and they're being attacked, one hit with a hammer. Police have had occasionally to use tear gas and impact weapons and rubber bullets and so forth. And the Portland mayor says that's making our streets unsafe. You think the folks in the streets protesting, and I don't mean just protesting, rioting, creating anarchy, trying to create their own autonomous zone by pitching tents, rebuilding barricades that police do take down. You think that might be part of the problem? No. No, a leftist is always going to look to, got to be the cops. Got to be the cops. You got the Antifas and others all coming in. One of them sending out a Twitter statement that read ACAB. An acronym meaning all cops are bastards. And then they've also decided to expand on Black Lives Matter, saying Black Trans Lives Matter. I'd mentioned to you the other day what they've done in Seattle. When they finally took apart their Chaz Chop Zone, and it was done primarily, not just the two nights of violence and deaths, but when a member of the city council led protesters to the home of the Seattle mayor. Jenny Durkin, and suddenly said, okay, that's enough. Break it up. We're done. Because she was threatened. And yet she's moving forward to defunding her police. 50% is the plan. And what's she going to do? Well, for one thing, she's taking the 911 call center and moving it out of the police department. She said, we believe deeply in broad community investments, greater community help, and less need to call 911 for help. But you call 911 for help now, you're not getting police department. You're getting a group that apparently will try to send a social worker over to resolve things. I pointed out yesterday, the two police officers, McAllen, Texas, sent to a disturbance, domestic disturbance, which is apparently where they would send some of these social workers now. And they were ambushed and shot down, killed, going to check on a domestic disturbance. Unfortunately, I guess we're going to have the death of some social workers who are doing their best they can under difficult situations, going into situations like that and realizing, I need a gun, I need a cop, and there's not one here. Then you got the Minneapolis City Council. They're also defunding their police as well, saying the citizens don't need that many police officers on the street. They don't need that much protection. But you know what the city taxpayers are doing? They're going to have to pay a $152,000 bill for security services for three members of the Minneapolis City Council, the very ones who voted to cut police for the average citizen. They hired two security firms because police officials did not have enough security to help provide for them because they've been cutting their budget and cutting them back. So they end up hiring private security. What about you, the common citizen? They're going to take the police officers from you. And if you're threatened or facing a situation, just good luck with that. 150 Minneapolis police officers are already seeking disability for post-trauma stress because of what they've been facing in these protests. 25 officers quitting. Another 25 seeking extended leave. And then there are those who are there having their numbers cut and budgets cut, but the three members of the Minneapolis City Council who felt that they might be threatened, they went out and hired private security. Let the taxpayers pay for that. Yeah, they have you in the front of their mind on protecting you, don't they? Take a break when we come back. The mainstream media once again ignoring a very obvious story. Why? Because it makes them look bad.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
There's a new issue of Vanity Fair. I don't know if you buy it or you read it, or you'll see it on the newsstands if you walk past it or in some of your grocery stores or wherever you're shopping. It features Oscar-winning actress Viola Davis on the cover. The publication admits they've had a problem in the past with putting black women on the covers. The editor-in-chief writes, 17 black people have been on the cover of Vanity Fair in the 35 years between 83 and 2017. And I know what they're seeing. They're thinking, we better show we're woke. We better step up to it. And I'm not saying there was not a good reason to put Viola Davis on the Vanity Fair cover. There was, and there probably many cases in the past where a black woman could have been, or a black man could have been featured, whatever they chose. But only now, and now it looks like it's knee-jerk reaction to me, and again, pandering, trying to show, hey, we are woke. And on top of that, they're using a black photographer for the first time, taking his photograph and using it on a cover. They've never used a black photographer for a cover photo. There's every reason to have Viola Davis on the Vanity Fair. In fact, she is going to appear as Michelle Obama in an upcoming presentation. You probably know the name Mary Trump. Oh, Trump, y'all know the name. Well, Mary Trump, she's the one who has out this new book, of course. She's been promoting it, saying it's got all kinds of nasty things. She's writing one of these tell-all books. She's a clinical psychologist, and she says, you know, I see things with Trump that my uncle that is just horrendous, and she says that he has done this and done that, and yet there are others who will not back up her story for whatever reason. Maybe she's telling the truth and they don't want to. But she was doing an interview with George Stephanopoulos, and he served up a softball question, saying, considering what you've written in your book and what you had to say about him, if you're in the Oval Office today, what would you say to your Uncle Trump? She responded one word, resign. Oh, and they love it. They love it. What a great answer. I wouldn't be surprised if they'd rehearsed it. Barry Weiss, you may or may not know. She has been a New York Times opinion columnist and editor. She's pretty much a centrist. She gets support and flack from both sides of the political aisle. Well, she decided to resign from the New York Times, a great lady. And she said, I am resigning because she's being bullied. She's being bullied because she cannot express her views, especially if they happen to be conservative type from time to time, without being attacked by others in her own office. She said, we have had a case where social media now is acting as a ultimate editor. Well, we know that from a recent event where the Senator Cotton had his op-ed published, and all of a sudden they went after the head of the editorial director, and they got it. So she's stepping aside. Now, she is frequently on MSNBC as a guest, and she's often been on NBC News and CNN. In fact, CNN and MSNBC have several Times employees on their payrolls as network contributors, because they're all on the road to destroy Trump. But if you're not going to stick to that road, if you're going to begin to vary and begin to find reasons as to why he should not be destroyed, ousted, jailed, hung, then they have no use for you. So here she has made this resignation in a scathing letter as to why she's resigning, and pointing out again that she has been bullied inside and not allowed to have her own think. She said, because I'm thinking for myself, I've been the constant subject of bullying by colleagues. They called me a Nazi and a racist. See, there he goes again. If you step against them, they're going to use the names. They're going to come out and call you the names. CNN did put one little clip on it on their webpage, but nothing on the air and nothing from MSNBC, because they'd have to explain why she resigned. And they don't want to do that. So they want to ignore it. In their opinion, if we don't write about it, it didn't happen. And now a person they considered a valuable contributor at one point is useless, because she's not walking the walk they set down for her. And yet something happened yesterday on CNN, which I want to point out to you. They actually stood up and attacked New York Governor Cuomo. I want to get into that story for you the next hour. And also How do you stop cows from farting? And why is that so important? Our climate is at risk. There is a company that thinks it's found a way to stop that excessive farting. Coming up next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.